called the what? The Word of God, you see? He's simply called the Word in the Gospel. He is called the Word of Life in the Epistles. And he's called the Word of God in the Book of Revelation. And so at times, you read about him, and the basic concept is he is the what? The Word. And he's also the Word of Life. And he's also the Word of God. You understand? Now, what happens is this. Now, this is simple so far, because when you have him as the Word of Life, you have him as the Word of Life, but then when he's next designated, read me some brother in verse 2, 1 John 1, verse 2. However, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 2. That's enough. What was manifested? Verse 2, and read it again. Exactly, for the light was manifested. But he's called the Word of Light in verse 1, but in verse 2 he's simply called the light, you see. But before the verse is over, he's also called what other kind of light? That eternal light. You understand? Now, here is what we want to do concerning the light. And so, let's look at it. In verse 1, verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, he's called the light. In verse 1:1, he's called the Word of Life. In 1:2, he's called the eternal light. And then you have to go through the epistle and find the references to eternal life. And this is the promise which he promised us, what? Even the life eternal. Even eternal life. These things have I written of you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? Eternal life. And 1 John 5:20, this is the true God and eternal life. You understand? And so I'm trying to show you this, and I hope you'll be able to work it out later on. Because when John, so his epistle is so simple, you read it, and you say, why, it's just so simple, why, there's nothing much to it. It is so simple that it has exhausted the thinking of the minds of men, and they've never been able to comprehend it all. Because John, in the simplest possible way, tells us the most profound thing. And he uses terms that we can understand about life and death and light and darkness. But he will mention the word, and then the next time he mentions it, he will vary. I told you about the Word of Life, and then the light, and then the eternal life. You see? This is the way that he does it. And you have to look at it, and if you're going to comprehend the epistle, that is the way you have to do it. All right, here's what I will do for now, so that at least you will know the various designations. Now, this page is full of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet, they're really very few. They're just enlargements of names. For instance, you have the word life, and then you have the Word of Life and eternal life. But he's just using the life, you understand? He embellishes it. He enlarges it. Life. Now, here's what we're going to do next. We're going to look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 22. Dick, chapter 2, verse 22. Read that to me.
Who is the liar that Jesus denies that Jesus is the Christ?
All right. That Jesus is the Christ. You see? Now, read me verse 22. Go ahead.
Who is the liar that Jesus denies that Jesus is the Christ?
All right. That who is? You find the word what by itself. That shall call his name what? Jesus. You understand? That Jesus. Here's the name Jesus by itself. Isn't that right? All right. Now let's look at the next. Read me chapter 4, verse 2, Clayton.
Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. If the Spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is the blessed of God.
All right. Is he called Jesus here? What is he called?
Jesus Christ.
All right. What did he call him when Dick read it to us? Jesus. What did he call him when you read it to us, Clayton? All right. Now, Dennis, In chapter 2, verse 1, read it to us.
I will deliver the things that are unjust in the Gentiles. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
I see. He started out with Jesus, and then Clayton gave us Jesus Christ, and what have you given us, Cindy? No.
Jesus Christ.
No.
Advocate.
No, no. Just read it. We have an advocate with the Father. Read it. Who is he? Jesus? Who? Read the verse again to us, Dennis. We're going to get it.
I will tell you the same. I will tell you the same heart. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ.
All right. Jesus Christ, the who? Very good. You understand? We started off with the name Jesus. And then Clayton gave us Jesus Christ, and now Dennis has given us Jesus Christ the what? The righteous. You see? He keeps building and building. Now, this, you read us in chapter 1, verse 3.
That which you have seen, heard, and heard unto you. But you also may have fellowship with us, and truly I am fellowship with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Now, with what?
His
Son, Jesus Christ. You saw that with Jesus? Jesus Christ the righteous, his Son, Jesus Christ. There are varieties, variations, again and again. Now, what you'll have to do, we can't do it tonight, but we have to see what he means when he gives us the name Jesus Christ, though, and when he adds Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ the righteous, and then his Son, Jesus Christ. You understand? There's some reason that he does. He doesn't just say, well, I think now I'll take the name Jesus and maybe I'll put down Jesus Christ and so forth. And if you think through this and find out the reason, then when you pray to God, you won't always say the Lord Jesus Christ, because God doesn't always designate his Son as the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do, then there is a reason. If you call him Jesus, there is a reason. If you call him Jesus Christ, there is a reason. If you call him Jesus Christ the righteous, there is a reason. You understand? So, be intelligent in your prayer. I'm afraid that most of the time, we stand at our feet and we just speak the words that come naturally to us without thinking them through. But if we think them through, then we will speak of him as the Christ at times. We will speak of him as the Word at times. We will speak of him as the Light at times. And so, this is what I'm trying to do, give you a little drill on the various presentations of our Savior as John. Now we're going to have another one. Albert, in chapter 4, you read me verse 15. 4:15. All right. You have to confess that Jesus is who?
Jesus is the Son of God.
All right. Now read me chapter 5, verse 1, Albert.
Jesus is the Christ.
Well, would you make up your mind? You want me to believe he's the Christ or the Son of God? Which? You understand? All right. Now, Clayton, you read me in chapter 4, verse 15.
This verse
and read me chapter 4, verse 2. No, you don't have to. It's being recorded. You can get it later. Yeah. Just think now and do what I tell you. Chapter 4, verse 2.
Did I know you that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming to the Son of God?
All right. Here is Jesus Christ, the coming one. Before, you read that Jesus was the Son of God. Albert read that Jesus is the Christ and that Jesus is the Son of God. You understand? Now, who is Jesus? Is he the coming one? Is he the Christ? Is he the Son of God, or is he all of them? He's all of them, you understand? But he's not all of them at the same time. He's talking about it. Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, you understand? Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Messiah. And that's what we have to do. I remember one dear brother at times, and unless you are prepared to exercise yourself under God, then you'll never do it. He saw the complexity of it, and he said, well, as I get older, all of these things merge into one, which means he didn't want to think at all, and so they were just all one, you understand? That's fine, if you can eventually merge them into one, and John does. He merges them into one, and he says, that which, you understand? But before you have that which, you have to know all of its components that make up that which, you see? And so, you say, well, how are you going to do it? We are trying to do it right now. All right. Now, let me show you another unique designation in the first epistle of John. Dick, in chapter 2, read me verse 20.
He have an unholy one, and know all.
All right. Who was it who sent the Holy Spirit? Exactly, and who is that? Whom have we been considering tonight? The Son, you understand? This is another designation. Now, let me give you a question that may be simple, it may be difficult. Where else in the Bible, in the New Testament, is Christ called the Holy One? Find it for me. I won't deny it, but just find it for me. Where in Luke? That holy thing, very, that, I said, the Holy One. Yes. That's very good. But the Holy One isn't in Luke. No, you don't get the prize. But you get a good mark for remembering that that holy thing, all right now, that holy thing is in Luke. And so let me show you. You've seen it, and it's a marvel. Turn to Mark. Dick, turn to Mark, chapter 1, and read me verse 24. Mark
1:24. Saying, let us alone. What is this little thing thou seest in the heaven? As thou come to destroy it, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.
I see. And who called him the Holy One of God? Someone who was holy? An unclean spirit. I've told you this, and I gave messages on it. Do you know the only infallible theology that you find of people or beings in the Bible? Some people will tell you wrong things about Jesus. Do you know that demons never tell us anything that's wrong about Jesus? Tell me anything a demon ever said that was incorrect about Jesus. I'm not talking about that inspired men to preach. Show me anything that a demon ever said to Jesus personally that was wrong. If you want to find infallible theology, read exactly what the demons say when they address the Lord Jesus, and you'll find that they're infallible. You know why? Because they were wicked. They were in heaven. They knew who he was. And they say, are you come to torment us before the what? The time. Do they believe in a future punishment? Of course, before the time. Do they know that there was a time in his going? Of course they do. You understand? Read through it, and if you want an infallible theology, read not what they teach men to teach, but read exactly what they say to the Savior. And then you will have an infallible theology. All right. Now, here is something, and this should be a thrill to you. Turn to John 6. John 6. Some people don't like it at all, but they don't realize it by not liking it. They are depriving themselves of a designation that you find nowhere else upon the list of a child of God. In John chapter 6, does anyone have any other version here than the King James, any brother? All right, then I'll read it to you from the 1901. Someone has. In John chapter 6, and we're going to let Albert, you read verse 668, right. John 6, verse 68.
68.
Yes.
Then, and Peter answered, Lord, whom shall we go? Thou hast the word of eternal life.
And go ahead.
And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ,
All right, read that again. We believe that there are that Christ. Read that again.
And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God.
That's enough. Stop right there. Have you heard those words before? The Christ, the Son of the living God. Where did you hear them before? These ladies know too bad they have to keep silence in the church. You heard them, and you heard Peter say those words in Matthew 16. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Do you remember? And he said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so, if you have Peter again saying he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, you have a repetition, but you have no addition. And I checked it out just to be sure. All the ancient manuscripts read it this way. Now listen. In verse 60 or 8, Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and know that thou art the Holy One of God. Isn't that remarkable? You can look at the most ancient manuscripts in existence, and not just a few. At times you'll see some ancient manuscripts one way and some another. The majority of them say, thou art the Holy One of God. You say, well, I don't like him not being called the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why, you have that in Matthew 16. You understand? So you haven't lost anything by calling him the Holy One of God. You gained something. You wouldn't have it unless you had these ancient manuscripts. And so I had him in Matthew 16 as the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I had him in John 6 as the Holy One of God. And now do you understand why we can't understand 1 John 2? You have an unction from whom? The Holy One. And you were prepared for it if you had read the 1901 version, John 6, 68 and 69. And even you had been prepared if you had read Mark chapter 1, verse 24. And so the demons call him the Holy One, and Peter called him the Holy One, and then John, the beloved apostle, called him in the first epistle, the Holy One of God. And so here is a designation that is unique. Only John calls him the Holy One. Peter does it, if you have the 1901 version, the Holy One, but John never called him the Holy One until you got to his epistle. And then he writes of him as the Holy One. All right, now we'll look just briefly at another. Someone read me chapter 2, Dennis, in 1 John 2, 1 John 2, verse 22.
Who is alive when he
has denied Jesus is Christ? All right. That Jesus is Christ. You see? And it says Jesus is the Christ. And so you have it in its simplest form. Jesus is the Christ. Clayton, read us chapter 4, verse 2.
Do I know Jesus, the Spirit of God, every spirit that possesses on Jesus Christ?
That's enough. That's what?
Jesus
Christ. And so, then it read us the Christ. You understand? Now you read us who? Jesus Christ. All right, Dick. You read us chapter 5, verse 6.
Jesus came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ.
All right. Now, that's a duplication of 4, 2. And for the sake of time, just briefly read us, Dick, chapter 2, verse 1.
My little soul, he came by our own gift, which he said not. In vain they said, he had inhabited the Father, Jesus Christ, the Lamb.
All right. Now, do you see how this overlaps? We were looking at Jesus once, and then we have Jesus, and Jesus Christ, the righteous. But here we have the Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You understand? Because Jesus is not the same as the Christ. And so at times there is a combination of Jesus with Christ, and at times there is a combination of the Christ with Jesus and Jesus Christ, the righteous, and Jesus. And so keeping these things in mind, go over them and read it and see if you can put more together. And then in the will of God, we'll be trying to find out just what are the meanings of some of these names. So But we've had good exercise tonight. We've had a good review, and I think progress has been made. And so I hope that your growth has been perceptive. Let's close in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the fullness of this one who can only be described as that which. How full he is, how little we know about him, and yet how much John knew about him. How often have we read what John said and did not realize he was describing it in such an infinite variety of ways, and that it could be described in such a variety of ways. So help us, Father, to treasure all the designations of thy Son, and to understand each one, and they shall make us grow stronger. Bless these dear sons of God, thy Father, and let them be built upon their most holy faith. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Did you hear
Yes. Investing in the Lord in prayer. Did you hear him so that Lord Jesus Christ?
All right. All you have to do, and the only way that you can do it, is to find out how he was addressed and how he requests to be addressed when you read about him in the Bible. Just find out how he is addressed in the Bible, and you're all right. If I ever address my Savior and you don't like the way I address him, but I point you to a scripture, you have to put your hand over your mouth. I thought I'd say, now let's pray. Our Father, now that's funny, isn't it? But the Bible says lifting up what? All right. Can you criticize that? Not at all. And so if I designate the Savior in any way that he is designated in the Bible when he is addressed, then all is well. You understand? He said, you call me what? No, you call me Master and Lord. And you say, well, may you call him Master then? He said, you say, well. He didn't say you call me Lord Master, but you call me what? Master and Lord. And at times he said, teacher. You understand the word master is like headmaster. It's the word didaskalos, teacher. You see? And so if you call him teacher, that's all right. You're speaking about him who taught, who spake like never man. So you can call him Lord. That's quite in order. And see if anybody ever called him Jesus. You see? And so that is an assignment that you've given yourself, Albert. We'll expect you to report on it next week. So read and see how it's done. The meeting is over.